time to meet the men from the ministry. Join us now for a quick spin in government circles with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler.
You want it, sir? Shall I put it on the table?
No, under the leg of the desk, please. Stop it wobbling.
I don't know. Blimmin' mockery.
Now then, where were we?
You were reading out that bulletin from the Board of Trade.
Ah, yes. Well, now, it's perfectly simple, you say?
Yes.
It's very simple. Now, listen. Our basic monetary problems are exacerbated by budgetary deficits and balance of payments shortfalls concurrent with artificial boom-slump cycle creating recurring crises. Fiscally, it would benefit everyone to replace this cycle with a new and less inflationary one. Yes.
I think that's a jolly good idea.
What is?
Giving everyone a new bicycle. Especially if you don't have to pump the tires out. People could ride to work and save bus fares.
I don't think that's quite what they mean to.
Oh, look, my own idea is to close all government offices for a year.
Yes, an attractive thought, too. But how would this help the economy?
Well, it'd save wear and tear on carpets and linoleum, wouldn't it? And civil servants could stay in bed, so we wouldn't need clean shirts, and we'd settle for a smaller pay rise.
Yeah. I'll just drop that down, yes. The permanent undersecretary wants all the suggestions we can muster.
I asked for the latest trade report from the Treasury. I wonder where it is.
It's that grey building opposite.
I know where the Treasury is, too. It's the trade report I'm looking for.
Yes, Mr. Minister?
Oh, Mildred, can you find the latest trade report?
Is your watch still wobbling?
Excuse me, Mildred. We wish to study the trade report. Please bring it in.
That's
nice, sir. Sir Gregory must think highly of us, making us his economic think tank.
He was impressed by the way we dealt with that timber shortage.
Yes, we certainly solved that. Once we put our heads together.
I can't see the report out there, sir. Have you looked in your in tray?
Oh, don't be silly, Mildred. Please, you know I'd never touch my in tray. It's a matter of principle.
Yeah, there it is. It's under Mr. Lamb's library book.
Oh. Oh, yes. What are you reading to?
It's an abridged version of 2 years before the mast.
Abridged, eh?
Yes, it's called A Day Trip Round the Bay.
Sir Gregory rang, sir. He's on his way over to collect your ideas on the economy.
Yes, well, I think we're ready for him this time. Oh, yes, we have several suggestions as to what he can do.
I could make a few myself, sir. But, you know, I don't really understand this economic thing.
No, well, now, look, I'll explain to you. Well, this, you see.
Yes.
Now, listen, basically, you see, a country, is rather like a person. Now, you mustn't spend more than you earn. Always have a little money left at the end of the week. Do you do that, Mildred?
Well, I try, but I always finish up with a lot of wheat left at the end of the money.
Shall we give Sir Gregory a cup of tea, one?
Good idea, too, yes. Mildred, put the kettle on, would you?
That's nice, sir.
Yeah, and Mildred, please. Now, I have mentioned this before. Please don't say rightio. It's the sort of expression only ignorant, uncouth people use.
Good morning, both of you.
Yeah, morning, Sir Gregory.
Oh, I'm asking you to pop in, sir. Would you care to sit over here?
Righty-ho. Now then, Lennox Brown, this financial problem.
Problem, Sir Gregory? Oh, my goodness. That's really been a problem.
More of a nightmare.
My colleague and I, Sir Gregory, have pitted our wits during these past few days, you know. Oh, it's night and day, as a matter of fact. Yes, but we don't complain, you know. Oh, this is a vacation. Oh, my word, yes. We don't seek material reward or promotion.
I'm glad to hear it. Saves disappointment. I've just come from the Chancellor of the Exchequer, who told me the government has agreed to introduce a state lottery. We feel this will solve our economic crisis.
A state lottery, Sir Gregory?
Well, other countries have had them for years. They sell millions of tickets and half the money thus raised is distributed as prizes.
Hmm. And the other half is kept by the government.
Yes, that's the way it works abroad, but the Prime Minister feels that this is wrong.
Oh,
yes, our government will keep all the money.
Where will the prizes come from?
Ah, that's where you do come in. I want you to organize a host of attractive prizes costing nothing, or we've absolutely pushed next to nothing.
Oh, that's impossible, Sir Gregory.
Quite. so you'd better get on with it. I want your suggestions by Wednesday.
I see, sir.
Are you going, Secretary? Won't you stay for a cup of tea?
I can't waste time drinking tea like you do. I've got to get away for the weekend. I'm off to the country to find a little peace.
Not taking one with you this time, eh?
I hope you have a good time.
Okay. Well, now remember, both of you, I want your list of prizes for the state lottery next Wednesday morning. Bring them to me at the Treasury at 11 o'clock. I'll be with the head of the Treasury, Sir Jasper Farthing.
Very good, Sir Gregory.
And mind you, make your figures accurate. Sir Jasper's a financial wizard.
Good morning, Sir Jasper.
Huh? Oh, it's you, Miss Sutcliffe. I suppose you've come to collect my tea money.
Yes, and to tell you that Sir Gregory Pipkin is waiting to see you to finalize details of this state lottery.
Ah, then we must tackle first things first. How much is the tea money?
At the moment, you owe £1.08.
Oh, well, here's a pound note, then, and 10 pence. If I give you a penny, give me 3 pence change.
No. If you give me 3 pence, I give you a penny.
Dear me, it's all so confusing. Why can't we have decimal currency like other countries?
But we have, Sir Jasper.
Have we really? Nobody tells the Treasury anything these days. Well, now, give me back that pound note, and I'll give you a penny.
That can't be right.
Well, ask Pipkin to come in. He'll sort it out for us.
Very good, Sir Jasper.
Decimal currency, eh? No wonder the canteen sandwiches are so expensive.
Sir Gregory Pipkin, sir.
Yeah, come in, Pipkin. Take a seat. That'll be all, Miss Buttress.
Yes, sir. The tea money.
All right, Miss Buttress. You can give it to me later. Off you go.
Well, I'm sorry I'm late, Sir Jasper, but I had to drive up from the country.
Oh, yes, quite great.
Now, about these prizes for the state lottery.
Oh, yes. Have you brought all the particulars?
Well, I masterminded the operation, Sir Jasper, but I left the petty details to my two junior executives. They'll be here in a moment with the relevant documents.
Oh, good. I think this state lottery should be a great success.
Yes, a brilliant idea on your part, if I may say so.
Oh, people like a gamble, you see. Our vicar knows that. He started a new scheme at the church.
Is that so?
It's preaching bonds, he calls them. You buy a ticket as you go into the church, and whoever's holding the bag when the organ stops keeps the collection.
Mr. Lennox Brown and Mr. Lamb, sir, from the General Assistance Department.
Show them in, Miss Buttress.
This way, please.
Good morning, Sir Gregory. Sir Jasper.
Morning, gentlemen.
I don't think you've met my number two, Richard Lamb.
Yeah, how do you do, Sir Jasper?
Well, now we've done as you asked, Sir Gregory, and drawn up a list of prizes, costing nothing. Now, we've done this, you see, by making use of existing government facilities.
Hmm. Well, let me see.
Hey, Arthur.
First prize, a weekend for two in the Royal Air Force Experimental Wind Tunnel.
That should pull it in, Sir Gregory.
This is
splendid. What's the second prize?
Second prize. A conducted tour of the boiler rooms and bicycle shed at the Ministry of Pensions.
That's a good idea. Capital. Go on, Pipkin.
Yes, go on, Pipkin.
Third prize. A signed photograph of the cabinet. That would be absurd and quite ridiculous.
Not if we keep them slightly out of focus, sir.
Well done. Well done. An excellent list of prizes, Pipkin.
What? I'm glad you're there, Sir Jasper. It was the best I could do in the time available. Yes.
Now, after the tickets are sold, how is the money to be handled? You've thought about that, I'm quite sure, Pipkin.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, Sir Jasper.
Well,
you explain, Lennox Brown. What do we do with the money?
A good question, Sir Gregory. Good question. You answer that one, too.
Keep the money in the General Assistance Department and then send it to the bank.
You like that idea, Sir Jasper?
It seems sound enough.
Good, then I'm glad I thought of it.
Remember, though, if you're dealing with large sums, you must be security conscious. We don't want ministry staff brutally attacked by intruders.
No. You can leave that to me.
How will you launch the lottery and publicity and so on?
Ah, well, now, I've studied that carefully, and Lennox Brown?
Quite. Lamb. Has the answer to that one?
Yes. What's the plan then, Mr. Lamb? You've got a big advertising campaign lined up, have you?
Yes. I thought we might put a card in the tobacconist's window. Perhaps even a small ad in the local paper.
Oh, Lord, man, you'll have to do better than that.
Before you go, I must tell you an interesting fact I learned today.
Really, Sir Jasper?
Yes. Did you know that you'd been decimalized?
Oh, no, Sir Jasper, no. Lamb's always been like that. Returns for the whole country complete.
Right you are, Martin. Yeah. So, any tickets sold now are too late for the first draw.
That's right, yes.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I saw ever such a funny sight just now. Hmm? Sir Gregory was outside in the street by an armoured car. Oh. And he was standing between two enormous guards in black helmets.
Oh, I say. It sounds like they've caught him at last.
I know. Caught him at last. Wait a minute. Armoured car, did you say?
Well, look out of the window, sir. The car's still there.
That's a security van, Mildred, from Rent-A-Kosh Limited.
Oh, Glory. You know what this means, don't you? Huh? He's come for the lottery taking.
Oh no, I'm old.
Right, where is it? Don't dawdle, Lennox Brown. I've told the bank, stand by it.
It's oh, it's you, Sir Gregory. It is. Yes, it is. I didn't recognize you, see, with your perspex visor and bulletproof hat.
Collecting vast sums of money like this, one can't take risks. Now, where's the money? How many tickets were sold? 20 million?
You're close. Oh, yes, close. But not quite 20 million, Sir Gregory, no.
18 million? 10 million.
Still shade high, I think. Still shade
high. Yes, I
think. What's the matter with Lamb? Ears have stopped ticking. Bad time.
Yes, well, the excitement's been too much for him, Sir Gregory, you see.
Well, how many tickets have you sold?
Yes.
8 million? 5 million? Well, answer me, Lennox Brown.
To be quite frank, Sir Gregory. Wait.
Only 3 million. Oh, well, I suppose it's a start. There'll be more next month, no doubt.
Not 3 million, sir. Just three tickets. 1, 2. Wait.
What did you say? Three?
Well, I bought one, sir. Mildred bought one.
And I bought one, Sir Gregory. And I would have, even if they hadn't twisted my arm.
They were a bit pricey, weren't they?
I mean, at 5 new pence. 3 tickets. At 5 new pence. I've hired an armored van and 2 guards to collect 15 pence.
8 pence. Actually, we had to pay 7 for the card in the window.
You two aren't having a little joke with me by any chance. We launch a state lottery, and you tell me you sold 3 tickets?
We nearly sold 4. My landlady would have bought one if she'd run the pools, but her draw set her down.
It's unbelievable. How could anyone be so stupid?
You mustn't blame yourself, Sir Gregory.
What? Well, as a matter of fact, I do. I shouldn't have let that idiot Farthing swallow your daft suggestions. Prizes costing nothing indeed. How can you expect people to enter?
Yeah, but you told us...
Silence, Lamb! Okay. The prizes you dreamed up, the public would pay not to win them. Now listen, this lottery must succeed. We start again from scratch. I'll persuade the government to take only half the proceeds and give the rest for prize money.
Ah, bold scheme, Sir Gregory.
Yes, yes. We must think big in every way.
Yes.
Big prizes,
yes.
Big sales, big publicity. Yes. Now put it in hand at once. And don't forget, for matters of national importance, you can get time on television.
Together, too. We're on the air in a moment.
But I have never been on the telly before.
Never mind. Stop fumbling with your portfolio.
Oh.
Ah, there you are, gentlemen. All ready? Well, my name is Robin Knight. I shall introduce you, and when the little red light goes on, just speak to the camera. All quite patient.
Stand by. We're on the air.
Controversial state lottery. What is it? Will it help Britain's economy? How will it work?
He doesn't know either.
Be quiet, too.
Tonight, we have in the studio 2 government officials to answer these questions. Mr. Lennox Brown,
Why are we going to have a state lottery?
We are having a lottery because the nation is finding it hard to make ends meet. It's as if someone keeps moving the ends, you see.
But when it comes to making money, you've got to hand it to the government.
Indeed.
Can you see me, Mrs. Bradley? I'll be home in an hour. You can put your chops in the oven.
Please, Mr. Lamb. Now, there are going to be four large cash prizes every month, £50,000 each, tax-free. Tickets will be sold throughout the country, and the first draw takes place soon.
During the next month, every household will receive a brochure giving fuller details.
Remember our slogan, you're on a good wicket when you buy your first ticket.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Well, viewers, as we said, ministry men will shortly be sticking their brochures through your letterbox. So you can study them at your leisure.
It's all summed up, you know, in that grand old phrase. Who wants to be a millionaire?
Thank you, Mr. Lennox.
I do.
Get him out of here, someone. Well,
sorry about that, viewers.
Please don't adjust your set.
There you are, Sir Gregory. Well, we've had a very busy fortnight, I can tell you.
Oh, yes. But it's all set up.
Well, for once, it seems you've done something right. The posters look good. People are suddenly talking about a lottery. Well, how exactly will the draw be made?
Ah, we have a selector rather like the premium bonds Ernie.
Only ours is called Eric.
Oh, I see. Electronic random index computer, I suppose.
No, not exactly, sir, no. Eric's here in the map cupboard, sir.
This is Eric, Sir Gregory.
Well, this is a scruffy old man in an ex-army greatcoat.
That's right, Your Worship. Eric O'Toole, at your service. He got me from the labor exchange, you know. Mine's a light age.
Wait a minute, never mind.
He's cheaper than the computer, you see. Now, what he'll do is he'll pick the winning tickets from a hat.
Not his hat, I hope. Let's keep this hygienic, please.
He's also been useful taking material from here to the printers.
Well, no doubt you've had the government press working overtime.
Oh, indeed we have, sir. Yes, they've done 50 million copies of our brochure explaining how the lottery works.
One bill goes to every household in the country.
In a red, white, and blue envelope. Yes. And also we've had special letters printed ready to tell the winners they've won £50,000.
They'll go on gold paper carrying a photo of the Prime Minister with cutaway corners and a fluted bottom.
Well, you seem to have covered everything. I can hardly believe it.
Not for me, Sir Gregory, as a matter of fact, but very seriously. Before long, we'll know who the first four lucky winners are.
Hello? Hello, Bernard? It's me, Mildred. I've won a prize in the lottery. £50,000. Yeah, of course I'm serious. I got the letter this morning. What am I going to do? Well, for a start, I'll have double chips at lunchtime. Then, I'll duck in the office and go and buy a see-through mink coat. Yeah, yeah, all right. I'll see you in the canteen, 1 o'clock. Whoopee! Yeah, Mr. Lamb, what's happened? Did you find another space gun in your cornflakes?
I've won a prize in the lottery. £50,000.
You are.
I have. The letter came this morning. There I was, facing years of drudgery at the ministry, bolting my breakfast so as not to be late, and suddenly I knew I could throw it all up.
Well, I never. What a coincidence. I've won £50,000 too.
£50,000? Oh, wait till we tell Mr. Lennox Brown. His glasses will steam up with envy. Morning, ma'am.
Morning, sir.
And what a very good morning it is, by Jove. Yes, I feel like a young colt.
We've got some news for you, ma'am.
Yeah, hold on to your hat, sir. This will shake you.
Yes, all right, yes. But before we get down to work, I've got some news for you.
Stop waltzing round the office and tell us.
I, Derek Lennox Brown, have just won the sum of £50,000 in the first state lottery. Yes, I had the letter this morning. And as I mean to share my good fortune too, I shall buy you a rock cake when the tea trolley comes round.
But we've both won prizes too, sir.
Yes, we've won £50,000 each.
What? Well, that's incredible. There are only four prizes and we've won three. My word, we can certainly sell the Gregory thing or two now, can't we?
There you are. Good morning, Pitkin. My colleague, something to say to you.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Mr. Gregory, you're an ugly old brute.
Well. So that's what you think of me, is it?
Yes, Mr. Gregory.
Well, let me tell you something. I don't care. Because I'm rich. Beyond my dreams of avarice. I've won £50,000.
Not the state lottery.
Yes, the state lottery. And the first thing I'll do is phone Miss Bentwater in the typing pool.
But, Sir Gregory...
You're surprised that I tell you about her. Well, things have changed, you see. We can have it out in the open now.
Such a coincidence, Sir Gregory.
Quiet, Padlam. Hello. Daphne Cuddles here. Oh, I've had the most astounding luck. Yes, I'm taking you on a world cruise. Don't interrupt, my dear. What did you say, Daphne? I can do what with my cruise? Daphne, what's the matter with you?
You won what? £50,000?
Oh, that's amazing. And so had your mother.
Oh.
What? But, and your Uncle Fred. Oh. And he didn't even buy a ticket.
Look.
Oh. But Jackson, she's rung off.
Sir Gregory, am I to understand that Miss Bentwater has also won £50,000 in the lottery?
Apparently. And she's walked out on me, ungrateful little minx.
But we've all won prizes, too.
That's impossible. There's only four prizes, and Miss Bentwater's people won three.
I don't like to suggest this, sir. It's never happened in this office before, but do you think there could have been a slight error?
I'm sure there's been an error.
We'd better have a word with Eric.
Top of the morning to you, Your Honor.
Now, wait a minute. Look here. We think there's a mistake in these winners you've selected.
God bless you, no, sir. You see, I didn't select no winners, Your Highness.
But...
No, not yet, sir.
No.
You haven't selected the winners yet?
Yes, sir. That's right. I haven't. No. I'd have a light ale, sir.
If he hasn't chosen the winners, how is it we were told we'd won?
Yeah, I just thought. We all got our letters this morning, but today's the day the brochures should have come.
Oh, glory. Now, let's take this slowly. You sent a letter to be printed for winners, and you sent to the same printers a brochure for delivery to everyone?
Yes, sir.
And as everyone we've met so far has got a winner's letter, it's just possible the two got switched.
What does it matter? We're all rich. Are we?
Oh, shut up, do you?
Look, do you mean every home in the country's been sent a winner's letter? Never. I mean, it couldn't happen. Could it?
Here is the news read by John Curl. There were amazing scenes throughout the country today as millions of householders rushed out into the streets shouting, "I've done it." It's understood they have all won prizes of £50,000 in the state lottery. Asked where the money would come from, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, lying in Downing Street with his arm round a crate of champagne, said, "Who cares as long as I get my lolly?" There has been considerable celebrating all over the country. In London, most pubs had run out of liquor by the time they opened. Excuse me, I've just been handed a message. Good heavens. I've won 50,000 too. I'll leave the BBC. I can say what I like before I go. Shall I? Why not? I've always wanted to. That is the end of the news.
Knickers!
So, I'm taking 12 weeks leave.
Oh.
I don't want to go now, but I must get it in, you see, before the end of the year or I lose it.
Run, that means I'll get the brunt of this lottery thing.
Oh, don't fuss, do you? Fuss and fuss. The public have taken it surprisingly well. They've accepted it's been a blunder and they're ready to laugh it off.
My landlady isn't. When she thought she'd won, she kept me awake all night having port and lemon rave-ups in her lounge. Now it's fallen through, she blames me. She's cut off my extras.
Look, never mind the public. It's the Gregory worries me.
He's been storming round the place like a tiger with a toothache.
Ah, Linux Brown.
Oh, Sir Gregory, Fred, I'm just off there. Actually, Lamb here will be very glad to help you.
Lamb where?
Lamb where? Phil,
come out from behind that curtain. You're not fooling anyone. Now listen, all of you. Listen, I've just come from the Prime Minister. He's insisted I come and congratulate you.
Well, it wasn't our fault, really, sir. You see, if only we...
What?
You mean he's pleased about the lottery?
Well, it seems that when everyone thought they'd won, they went out and spent their savings, and this has reflated the economy.
Is that good?
Apparently. And also, people have seen that when everyone's rich, no one's rich, and they've all gone back to work in good heart.
Oh, good old British public. Of course, I've always said, you know, I mean, money isn't everything.
No, it certainly isn't.
No, I'm very glad to hear you say that. Very glad. As I'm deducting £1 a week from all your salaries.
What? Oh, gracious, why?
Until the postage is paid back on those 50 million letters.
Getting the Bird, as the men from the Ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, and John Graham. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham, and produced by Edward Taylor.